Jackie, I have the authority.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Some respect to the pure authority. Don't make a flex. Total superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Jackie Weaver Has the Authority, a podcast where I'm joined by a weekly guest as we answer life's big unanswered questions. With a career in local politics, running meetings and dealing with difficult questions, this shouldn't be too different. If you haven't already, please do press subscribe or follow so you don't miss an episode. Today's sponsor is Brixton Brewery. More about them later. And a reminder that you can support this show on Patreon, which allows us to keep the show going. You can get bonus bits, episode shout-outs, watch podcasts being recorded, and more. Google Jackie Weaver Patreon, or press the link in the notes below. Joining me today is a television presenter, writer, and countryfile royalty. It's Julia Bradbury. Julia, welcome to the show. And again, thank you so much for giving me your time this afternoon.
Jackie, it's an absolute pleasure. And I just need to tell everybody, I'm going to fess up straight away. I was a little bit late. And the first thing I said to Jackie was, please don't switch me off. And she didn't.
Yeah, but there's time for that, yeah.
I know.
obviously, I know who you are. Mainly because I researched you before.
Yeah, somebody gave you a piece of paper with all my details on it.
But for people who are listening who don't know you, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Julia and I'm a television presenter by trade, so that's what I do. I'm, I suppose, most well known for my passion for the outdoors and my walking programmes. And I started Countryfile with Matt Baker when it moved to its evening slot on a Sunday evening. Matt and I were asked to front that move and to work together to move it from its Sunday afternoon farming slot into its peak time family viewing on a Sunday night slot.
Okay, so I have to ask each of my guests, because it's important you understand just how vital some of these questions are to people. I need to check with you whether or not you feel you have the authority to answer these questions.
Well, I think I do have the authority to answer your questions, Jackie, because like yourself, I am a woman hustling and bustling in very much a man's world. And I think I've managed to sustain a career for more than two decades. I've got a little bit of life experience under my belt. I'm a mum of three. So without being conceited or big-headed, I hope that I have. And if I haven't, I hope I earn my place.
Okay. Just slight tip here, you know, just woman to woman. I want you to practice, I have the authority.
I'm going to take that straight away. Jackie, I have the authority.
Excellent. Okay, let's crack on. We'll start with a nice, simple relationship question.
Oh, gosh. My favourite.
Simon 88, I don't know if that's his age or not, asks, is it ever a good idea to be friends with your boss?
That's a very good question, isn't it? You certainly do have to have, I think, a degree of respect for one another. I think that's important. So I do think that it is helpful to have an understanding of the person beyond your boss. So it is useful to know personal information about them. And I think that works both sides. There are, of course, lines that shouldn't be crossed. And I think we all know situations where friends or colleagues have come a bit unstuck, where that boundary has become slightly blurred.
I liked your idea about gathering information on them, although I did think you were going to use it to blackmail them in the future if necessary.
I don't mean it in a bad way. I think it's like when you have a conversation with somebody and you just talk about if you've got kids who are the same age, or you both like the same sports, or you have an activity that you share. It's a nice, you want to be able to break the conversation out beyond just the business talk, because otherwise I think that becomes very one-dimensional, and I don't think the relationship on a from a business point of view, will flourish if that's all you've got to talk about. I do think it's important to have some personal connections in order to let that relationship blossom in alternative ways.
I suppose there's the other thing there about being able to kind of, engage with someone like, along the lines of, did you have a nice weekend? Did George come round for the barbecue on Thursday? I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go at the end of the week.
Which is probably just the way that you would do it. And I think,
it feels so much better.
Yeah, you feel so much better and they feel so much more let down by you. So it's a win-win.
But I think you're right. I think the main thing there is it's problematic.
Yes.
Nice boundaries, but problematic. Be careful. Both parties. Lovely. Gelled hair.
Ooh.
We have a public footpath that snakes along our house and often walkers stop and have a nosy in the garden. Should gelled hair ignore them or get out the garden hose?
You're in the garden. Is gelled hair in the garden and somebody's walking past?
Well, not so much walking past. I don't think he has a problem with them kind of continuing on, but it's when they kind of stop and have a nosy.
Well, I'd be very tempted to get the old hose out, I have to say. And you can do it in a way that doesn't look as if you're actually sort of assaulting them or doing it on purpose. If you just happen to be watering your flower beds, you could just sort of have a little, I'm so sorry.
I think importantly, that would not work with a watering can.
No, definitely not. And then I think if you were to throw the watering can, then we are getting to into more dangerous territory,
there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Our garden backs onto a playing field. They play football and cricket and stuff like that. And very often the spectators come and. It surprises me. I mean, we'll be sitting in the garden, and it's kind of like each one gets a little braver than the last. So, one person will kind of come a bit closer to the fence. Another person will move a bit closer and you can see that they're looking. And then, eventually you literally have them hanging on the fence looking over the garden.
So I think now I'm going to make a little business suggestion to you. Now that you are well-known figurehead, Jackie, if I were you, I'd start monetizing this particular opportunity and start selling them tea and scones. That's what my friend Amanda Owen does on her lovely farm in Yorkshire. So if you just pull together a few dropped scones and start charging a couple of quid when they're there, I think that's the way forward. And it will either they'll either get rid of them or they're in and you've got them for an hour.
And we could even chat to them. Do you think I should charge extra for that?
Yes, definitely. Now we're moving into the realms of a personal appearance.
Right. Okay. And, well, yes.
And you then at that point you become the show pony. That's what I'm called. When we go out, if I'm working and I'm signing books or filming something or anything, I'm the show pony, and that's what my family call me. And if I'm not, then I'm civilian. I'm mummy or I'm sister or whatever I am.
Right. I mean, I could even say their name, couldn't I?
Yeah, you could do a little video. You could do a little film, a little selfie film for them. You get a couple of hundred quid for that.
In fact, I'll get Stuart onto a sign.
Is Stuart Mr. Weaver?
Yes. It sounded so odd how calling him Mr. Weaver. Yes. Well, I think, I don't know that it answered Gerald Hare's question, but I personally got quite a lot out of that.
Yeah, it's worked for you.
It's worked for me. Karen Kay, what fashion trend from the past are you glad has died a death?
There are so, so many. I think the New Romantic period, I was very much into Duran Duran, and Spandau Ballet, and I had a lot of very, very ruffly shirts, white, big ruffles out front, a lot of adamant sort of waistcoat. That they did come back, and I just ignored that rebirth because I couldn't. It was too painful for me.
Aww.
My mum was in the fashion business. She's retired now. So I grew up around fabrics, and she had a shop in Sheffield and a shop in London. So I was very much aware of that world. And I still have things in my wardrobe that I had 25 years ago. And actually, I can wear them still because it's just come back round, some of the fashions. High-waisted trousers are back now. They went away for a long time. Skinny jeans have been in and out and in and out. So I think my tip is just hold on to everything.
Hold on to everything.
Except the new romantic fluffy shirts. They can go forever in my book.
Yeah, it's not a good look, is it? I do like the floaty dresses. However, I am one of the short people and I always think I do look like a Dalek in them. I mean, just look like I don't have legs, just rollers.
You can waist them still, Jackie. You're allowed to sort of have a, you know, you can have a tie or a belt, or that always helps because you can still put a bit of shape to a floaty
yeah,
dress.
But then you really do look like a sack of spuds tied in the middle.
I know that people can't see us, but all I can see are your shoulders. And to be honest, I think that's all most people have seen of you is your head and shoulders. So we can't know. I don't know. I'm sure that you are overstating what you're saying and that you're very, very lovely and that you look gorgeous in your floaty dresses.
Stick with Dalek and you're not far off.
Exterminate, exterminate.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please?
And on the subject of fashion,
yes,
Theo, men who iron their trousers and even their underwear, should they be banished from society? What the heck's the problem with ironing trousers?
So trousers and underwear, no, you should definitely be able to. You should be able to iron whatever you like. So,
No. I mean, I think you have to have, you know, kind of parameters here.
What can't we iron then, do you think?
I advise you not to iron underpants.
Do you?
Because they're just really stretchy and tricky.
What about boxer shorts?
Because
boxer shorts have a fly bit, and if you don't iron it flat, then a compromising situation could arise. If you've got a wrinkly fly bit.
And you certainly don't want any wrinkly bits.
No, and then it would be a wrinkly fly with a wrinkle. We don't have to say it.
Yeah, I wonder if the point they're making is about ironing them, because actually you don't iron trousers, particularly like hems and stuff. You need to press it. You definitely need a cloth in there.
Yes, you need a cloth.
Yeah, otherwise you'll have just shiny trousers.
So we're saying there are some things you shouldn't iron, but overall we think go for it.
Yeah. Don't iron socks.
Don't iron socks. No, yeah. Theo, don't iron socks. Are these real people that we're talking to?
I have to assume so.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope this is useful.
I mean, what is the meaning of life?
otherwise, quite frankly, what are we doing here?
I was going to say, the alternative to that is that I am actually sitting here with the lovely Julia answering questions that I've made up specially to ask the lovely Julia.
Is Mr. Weaver?
Oh, no. I mean, if Stuart had made up these questions, they'd be quite different. What would Stuart's question be? How many miles is it to Saturn would be
He's one of those. Oh, right. OK.
Yep.
What does Stuart think of the whole episode? What does he think of the moment when you didn't have the authority?
Of the meeting itself?
Yeah.
I guess Stuart and I are both very stoic about things. Those kind of things, although not perhaps as dramatic as you saw that night, they happen more often than you think. So, you know, and my job is about dealing with bad behaviour very often. So kind of like, you know, another day at the office kind of thing. Just crack, you know. Get on with it. It's like the Weaver motto. There is actually a Weaver motto, which is, it can always get worse.
Come on then, let's keep helping people. I'm on a roll.
Goat Herder. You see, I don't think that's their real name.
They could be Twitter handles or something. Goat Herder.
Well, on Twitter. Yeah. Controversial opinion. I don't really like friends.
Oh.
I've not got any.
Oh.
Am I in a minority? I'd like to say that when it comes to this podcast, I have the authority. However, this was the part of the show where my producer told us it was a question about TV show Friends, not the concept of friends. Oops.
That is, I was just about to say, that's what I thought you were talking about originally, the TV programme. But yes, so that's what, yeah.
I think you just tell the director to butt out here.
Oh, do you? So
I
you're
think
saying.
That is a better question.
So goat herder.
I don't really like friends. Yes. I've not got any. Am I in a minority? I don't like friends. I don't have very many of them.
But is that what they're really saying? Or is it about Friends the series?
Well, the producer says it's about the series, but that's not the question we're going to answer.
I think, we'll take a two-pronged attack here. Originally, when you first asked the question, I assumed you were talking about Friends, the massively successful American comedy series, which has just had a reunion of late. So it's very much in the public psyche again. I did get Friends back in the day, and I still think it's very, very funny. So I don't, but of course, you know, people, the reason we all like different television programmes and different actors and actresses, we all have very, very different tastes. The second question about Friends, I think Friends are the most important thing in your life.
I feel I've got lots of acquaintances. I know lots of people. Well, I mean, you just got to look on Twitter.
Yep.
I'm really popular. But of course, I wouldn't necessarily call them friends.
No. And I think that's a wise judgment call. Friends are, it's a very intimate relationship, friendship. You know, you share problems with friends and they know about your relationships and your work worries. And that's quite a big thing, to put your trust into somebody else. I think that's a big deal. So I do understand how you might say you have lots of associates and acquaintances, but you wouldn't necessarily trust lots of people with some issues or problems that you might have. I work sometimes with a psychologist called Jonathan Hoban, because he's a walking therapist. So we do some working projects together, and we were discussing who to talk to during lockdown about problems and issues. And I think he put it very, very well. And this is a good rule of thumb for friends. When you share information, when you share a problem with somebody, you're sharing something very valuable. You're passing them almost, it could be a valuable piece of jewellery or a vase that you love, or it is something that is precious and valuable to you. So you should be careful about who you pass it to. Can they handle that?
I think that's far more interesting than Friends.
Than Friends, the television series.
I remember watching Friends many, many years ago. It was many years ago. I think it was funny at the time. As for the rematch, not so much so. It's kind of like the young Golden Girls, isn't it?
The Golden Girls. I think David Schwimmer and Matt LeBlanc would love to be compared to the Golden Girls.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
I just wanted to thank our lovely sponsors, Brixton Brewery. They specialise in bold, modern and easy drinking beers inspired by the vibrant South London neighbourhood they call home. Like their Cold Harbour Lager, which is a bold and refreshing tribute to Cold Harbour Lane, just round the corner from the brewery. I have had a can or two, and I can safely say it's an ideal accompaniment to a summer's evening. Listeners of this podcast can get 10% off their next order on brixtonbrewery.com. Use the code CALLMEBRITNEY. That's Call Me Britney, all one word, for 10% off your next order, with delivery nationwide. Get a taste of Brixton. Now back to the show. Oh, here you are, you'll like this one. Sacrilege on Twitter. Would you rather live in the countryside forever with no internet or streaming services, or be stuck in the city but could never visit the countryside?
Ooh. Okay, well, I'm going to have to be very practical on this score. and for health reasons alone, I'm going to say it would have to be the countryside. Because as much as I like city life, I mean, I live in London, but cities, towns and cities are very polluted and they're very dirty and they are very noisy. And it's something I've become more aware of now that I have younger children. I'm concerned about their health. And we always walk the non-busy way to school. And I'm always talking about planting more trees. And I just don't think it's a very healthy lifestyle.
But no internet? I mean, how's that going to affect your job?
Yeah, well, the phone will still work, won't it? Will we still have phone lines? I'll just have to get a landline. Just get one of those. Remember those?
Vaguely.
308-608. That was my best friend at school in Sheffield. That was her telephone number. Hello, 308-608.
That sounds really sexy.
I remember that was her mum. Her mum always used to answer the phone like that. Gabriella Marsh, and that was her mum, June. 308-608. So yeah, I'd go back to a landline in the countryside, and I would have to come up with some TV project, obviously, there. So I'll be all right. We'll find a way.
I'm surprised we've never come up with the idea of a geography swap. So that you are kind of paired with somebody in the city or somebody in the countryside, depending on what the opposite is, and you get to spend some time in the other. Because all us people who live in the countryside, believe me, are just as likely to be stuck on our screens as anybody in a city. But, you know, it might be kind of nice to kind of experience it. You know, sort of all those people who want to go and live in the city, you know, just go for a kind of like almost an extended holiday.
Well, there are websites, there are house swapping websites where you can go and do that. You can do a house swap and people come to your house and you go to their house. Generally, it's in other countries. Obviously, we're not doing very much travel at the moment. But you could be onto something. That could be another branch of the Jackie Weaver Emporium.
We could match them with communities.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? So what have you got to offer Audlem, Julia? You know, before we'd allow you to come into the countryside.
I don't know. I could do some good community walks for everybody. I could become sort of part of the care in the community and help people with mobility issues and people who don't get enough outdoor time. And I can come and sort of be the community outdoor person and get them out walking and boost their health and their mental well-being and also sort of get them connected to other people.
So we could even call you the guilt tripper.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Hello, have you been out today? Why not? Don't you know it's good for you? Have you done your 30 minutes of exercise? Good for your mental health, good for your physical health. Come along.
Yeah. So people seeing you coming up the driveway, you know, literally hiding underneath the curtains.
Yeah, and I'll be shouting through the letterbox, I know you're in there, Jackie's told me. She's got a camera fixed on your wall. I can see you.
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Read the standing orders.
Read them and understand them.
Hear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Me again. Just wanted to remind you that if you'd like the bonus bits, ad-free episodes, podcast shout-outs, watch podcasts being recorded, and monthly Zoom hangouts with me, you can support the show on Patreon. Patreon is a way of supporting independent podcasts like this. If you'd like to become one of my Patreons, Google Jackie Weaver Patreon, or just click the link in the episode notes. Thank you to my patrons, Helen Rance, Connor Farley, and Judith Elliott. On with the show.
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Read the standing orders.
Read them and understand them.
Hear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Here's one very close to my heart. Grace
09.
Yes. Well, you don't want to have confused with Grace 08.
No. Or 04, because she was a nightmare.
But she did her best. Come on, she did her best. Walked a lot.
Well, yeah. In the wrong direction.
See, I've just thought of something else. How we help people identify the right direction of travel.
That's called a compass.
Well, maybe they need help using it, because if people are walking in the wrong direction, Right. Can we all agree, and I'm with her already, that camping is a bit rubbish? You get cold, wet and smelly.
You do know that I'm the president of the Camping and Caravanning Club, don't you?
A caravan is slightly different.
OK. So, as it happens, I've just come back from a week, well, 4 days, of camping with my... 5 days. With my children.
It's a good job you're not in banking.
Yeah.
That's approximately 10 million, not four.
I have just returned from 5 days of camping with my lovely family. And I have to say, they had the best time. So I'm going... There are a few things with camping. First of all, I think it is the best holiday for kids, for little kids. They adore it. And as
yeah,
we know...
Julia, you can't send them on their own.
Why not? They were fine.
I don't know, but I tried it once and got in awful trouble for it. You know, here you are. This is where you are having your holiday. Mummy and Daddy will come back and see you in the end of 5 days.
Yeah, don't talk to strangers, apart from if you think they're nice. There are some things that you have to do as parents and you have to sort of suck it up a bit. And camping for children is just absolutely brilliant. The statistic that came out a few years ago that was very scary, and it's true, is that children spend less time outdoors now than prisoners. 40% of children never play outdoors anymore. Now that...
They spend less time outdoors than they do in prison.
No. Than prisoners. So prisoners get an hour outside every day. Children are spending less time outside every day than inmates, than prisoners, than the incarcerated. And 40% of children are never playing outdoors at all. That is a real problem. Because children need free play, they need a connection with nature, they need to be outdoors, they need to be sniffing in the microbes and the wonderful hormones and pheromones that trees are emitting for their health to build up their immune systems. It's just a vital part of our upbringing, and it's in our DNA to relate to nature and for nature to be a part of our lives. Camping is one of the best things that you can do for kids for all of those things. It gives them a freedom. They step outside the tent or the caravan or the very ritzy motorhome if you want, Jackie. You know, you can get 6-berth rock and roll motorhomes now, which have got showers and gold taps and heated carpets and all the mod cons that you could possibly wish for.
Or hotels.
But the difference with a hotel, when you're on a campsite last week, and the weather was incredible, it was beautiful, we were so lucky, but the kids jumped out of the camper van, bare feet, straight onto grass, scampered down to the shower huts, brushed their teeth, and then they were back out. And all of the kids who didn't know each other sort of made friends within a matter of hours. They were all playing rounders, they were going off into the little local woodland, they were free playing with each other, which just doesn't happen anymore. So I'm, of course, as the president of the Camping and Caravanning Club, going to go, I disagree strongly, and I'll happily send you on a very glam camping holiday if you need persuading.
I'm definitely with Grace O'Neill. The other thing, I have a small issue with tents, is the ratings of them, as in how they accommodate, you know, how they tell you what size they are.
Mm.
You know, so you'll have this kind of tent and you'll think that you could possibly squeeze in two adults and one small child, and you find it's a 17-man tent.
Yes.
So how do they measure it? Do they have the men stand up like in a lift?
Well, now you have, it depends. They basically say it's a one-man tent or a two-man tent or a three-man tent or a four-berth tent. So on the campsite, I was in Staffordshire, and there was a very, very fancy four-berth tent with an awning, and this was all singing, all dancing. There was the fantastic stove for the cooking. They had comfy inflatable seats and furniture outside underneath the awning. I mean, they had everything going on, and they had a whole family in there, and they all had their own bedrooms.
So they could have stayed in the hotel.
During COVID, you can't.
Right, okay.
So there we go. So yeah. So it's a way of having a holiday.
In a pandemic,
yes.
I think that's about as close as I could get to a sales pitch for a camping holiday.
You're only going in a pandemic.
It's a holiday in a pandemic.
I'm obviously not going to run with that, but if that's your tagline, then I'll put it up on Twitter later. I must start following you on Twitter, actually. I'm going to send in a question.
Yes, do.
I like your nails. I've just seen your nail
Thank
post.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, very nice. Did you do those?
Yeah.
They're amazing.
I can't bear chipped nail polish.
Oh, no, nobody can, though. Come on.
But it's like, you know, it's a commitment. If you're going to paint them, you have to maintain them.
You do. But sometimes it's happened to me. I've been in the middle of filming and it's happened. And then you've got that whole day with, oh, no, my middle finger's chipped and I'm on camera and I can't do anything.
Julia, you should just go home.
I'm sorry, producer. I know that we have an entire sequence to film and that it's costing thousands of pounds to do it. I'm going home because I've got a chipped nail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you get what's called a reputation, Jackie, for being awkward and difficult.
That's when you have standards, Julia.
I'm learning so much on this podcast. I really am.
Seriously.
I really, really enjoy it. This is a very, your approach to it all. It's because it's so new and visceral. It's brilliant. That's what I'm going to say. Next time I'm having a hissy fit, I'm going to go, I've got standards, you know.
big question. Fortunately, I have read all of the question. At the point at which I stopped, I was getting anxious. Eggs in or out of the fridge?
Oh,
yeah, well, as you say, I just wondered where it was going.
Right. So eggs stored in the fridge, but taken out an hour before cooking, because eggs should be at room temperature, especially a boiled egg, the perfect boiled egg. If you take it straight out of the fridge, and it's come from the very cool environment of the fridge, and then you put it straight into the boiling water, it impacts the way the egg boils, and it's not as good. So you should do a boiled egg from a standing start at room temperature. So a bit of both.
And although it's a supplementary question, but it's one of those things that just drives me absolutely insane. Is there a way of making sure the shells come off easy?
There is a way, but it depends if you've gone for a hard-boiled egg or a soft-boiled egg.
We're going hard-boiled here.
Okay, so if we've gone hard-boiled, here's a little tip for you. Take the hard-boiled egg, which is very hard-boiled, put it into a jar, an empty jar, clean, obviously, put the lid on, shake it, shake the jar, take egg out, a million different pieces, peels off very easily. And I think you'll find it very satisfying the way that the eggs come off. My little girls love doing that.
On their camping trips,
exactly. Excellent. And even at home and the non-camping trips in our kitchen, our full kitchen, not just over the stove.
Julia, thank you so much for your patience answering our questions today. And I really feel that if anybody is going to persuade me to venture into the tent world again, I think you would be the person to do it.
Brilliant. I'm very, very happy that that's the case. Jackie Weaver, thank you very much for giving me the authority to talk to you today. It's been fantastic.
Thank you to Julia for being such a great guest, and thank you for listening. Please do subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you're enjoying this podcast, I'd really appreciate you rating and leaving a nice review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. You can support the show on Patreon and keep up to date with everything on Twitter at Jackie Weaver Pod. Thanks again to my main patrons, Helen Rounce, Connor Farley and Judith Elliott. Thanks for listening and see you soon.
She kicked him out. Jackie Weaver,
the authority. Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.